You're listening to Strictly Business Podcast with Lindsay Williams.
The JSE has closed its doors for another day, so it's time for the 5 o'clock shadow. And tonight I'm talking to portfolio manager at PSG Wealth in Cape Town, none other than the inimitable, the elusive and the superb Skalk Loeb. Because Skalk Loeb predicted last week, the last time we spoke, that the next time we spoke, gold would be 2020. And he's been absolutely right. I mean, I've been right for the first $200-$300. He's been right for the last $70. Skalk, it's gone from 1970 when we last spoke to 2055 at one stage today. What a story. Crazy, isn't it?
Crazy. No, it's crazy. It's a wonderful story, and I think, you know, let's just step back, on this whole debacle. If I had a few people that asked me today, on the next predictions, this is not a crystal ball thing. I mean, this is just stating from a person, and I'm seriously the person that would be considered a non-gold bull. Mm-hmm. So I think it's just when you look at the current environment and people, I think, what environment? It's not fearful. Markets are going up. Gold is going up. Why are we seeing this scenario? And I think, while the U.S. are currently printing money and we know, that Powell has reiterated and said and made it clear, and I'm going to quote him again, by saying they will do everything in their means. They will do anything let's call it the U.S. economy from a Fed point of view. And while we know they're in the process of getting another $1 trillion stimulus approved, and yes, it's not done yet, but I think it's sort of a foregone conclusion that it will be done. That's another $1 trillion that needs more into money supplies, more money being printed. It's definitely going to put some further pressure on the dollar, and gold is just loving the environment. I thought we're going to test the $2,000. It was sort of a psychological thing, all time around, because remember the previous highs we had on the gold was 2011. We came out of the recession, they started the stimulus, they started the big money printing process, and everybody was a little bit worried. We saw gold go up to $1,921 per ounce. Yep. It surpassed that. I thought we were going to do $2,000, and I was hoping to see 2020 in 2020. Well, we've done that this morning. We've surpassed that. Happy days.
Yeah, there is obviously something going on here. I mean, I know the dollar is now almost 119, euro dollar almost 119, and it was 106 earlier this year, maybe even lower than that, the euro, that is. But there's obviously something going on. Someone's getting squeezed here. There's some sort of option play or some ETF that has to deliver or take delivery, or something is happening. I'm not clever enough to understand what it is, but you don't see these sort of spiky moves unless there's some kind of nuclear war going on, because this is something I've never seen before in gold.
Well, I'm busy reading a book, The Death of Money. It is a phenomenal book, and I would highly recommend this. I mean, this book was brought out in 2014, where they talked about this whole inflation, deflation worry. And just for those who's interested in reading the book is The Death of Money, and it's written by James Ricketts. Now, they were talking about this whole scenario of the money printing and how this eventually will end. How the East is not really happy using dollars anymore. We know China don't like it. Iran, Russia. All of them want to seriously decouple, specifically the oil, but they want to decouple from the U.S. dollar. So there is a bit of a, let's call it, a political play involved as well. I would just say that for anybody out there, and again, I'm reiterating, I'm the non-gold bull. Be very careful calling a top at the current gold prices, because although I do think there's, to a certain extent, a bubble. Now, why do I call this a bubble to a certain extent? When you look at the gold price relative to the U.S. dollar, now, I know a lot of people will tell me, Skalk, come on. Come on, the dollar has decoupled from the gold since 1971. How can you still argue that fact? Well, just go and draw a graph on the US dollar euro, put the gold price on it in dollar terms, and you'll see exactly what I mean. They run like a train track, a gold train track. Now, when you put those two graphs, or let's call it those two data points, relative against each other, we will see let's call it the overbought scenario in gold, round about the 2011 niche, where that, let's call it relative value, went beyond the 1.5 standard deviation. So that's sort of giving you an idea of the overbought scenario gold. Now we've surpassed that. So a lot of statisticians and even in investment advisors will argue the fact that we're back at those levels, and be very careful, we now back at overbought levels. The reason why I say we be very careful is the US hasn't stopped printing money. They're sitting with huge debt levels, and they're sitting with the big thing that they're looking towards November, that if Trump do not get reelected, I'm seeing serious pressure on unwinding you know some of these structures that was put in place to stimulate, and I see some serious pressure on the dollar going forward. So be careful jumping up and down and saying I think it's time to get out of gold.
Do you think people scalp? Sorry to interrupt you. Do you think people, because gold is a relatively thinly traded asset class compared to bonds or equities, do you think people are starting to say, yes, the dollar has already started, so the gold is going to be next? We have to position ourselves in the gold market first because it's, as I said, relatively illiquid compared to the rest of them. We'll do the gold first, and then we're going to start to get rid of equities and certain bond positions and that sort of thing. Because let's not forget, today is August the 5th. The US election is in less than 3 months' time, and that goes like that. The election is going to be upon us, and Mr. Trump, at the moment anyway, is set to lose. And if he loses, then the stock market, if for better or for worse, rightly or wrongly, is going to fall in a heap.
Yeah, you're 100% right. I mean, that is the main worry, you know, currently. And, you know, I think that the main difference now as well is, you know, back in 2011, we just went into this stimulus environment. So everybody was worried. You know, the equities were looking, you know, people were worried. It was looking cheap, but we're still sitting in this recession environment. Everybody was extremely worried post the financial crisis. But that's there was one big difference, you know, compared to that period. Because on that stage, if you held gold as an investment, that investment gave you no income. It only cost you money. You needed to buy that physical gold and keep it in a vault, or keep it through an ETN or ETF. It'll cost you money. It'll give you no income. It will just cost you. While you can still take your money and invest it in international bonds, and it was yielding, you know, not a fantastic return, but there was still some interest rates involved. Nowadays, look around. You know, most of these developed countries are sitting at negative rates. You're getting negative real returns. So by putting your money in a bank with negative real returns, it's going to cost you money. By buying gold or gold equivalents, it's going to cost you money. And I think the world is just telling us, you know what? I like the fact that I'm buying physical gold. I like the fact that this is not something some hacker can hack into and hack me out of my wealth or situation. This is a totally different scenario compared to 2011. Future-wise, do I think that this is a fantastic investment? You know, going forward, will it yield a fantastic income? No. Gold is still gold. It's still something that we use as jewelry. We use it as some fear factor investment. So I think the long-term gold view is still, you know, be very careful. That brings me to the second point, and we're going to touch on, you know, two companies in this podcast today because they actually reported.
DRD and Goldfields, right?
That's it. And before I touch on that, and I want to make it very clear, because that's the one thing you and I have been chatting about, you know, every single week, is that the one thing that I find different in my list, close to 30 years in the market, is that for the first time, these gold mines are making money. For the first time, these gold mines are sitting with extremely healthy balance sheets. This is something that we didn't see in 2011. This is something we didn't see, you know, in the past 20 years. It's these companies are looking good. And just to reiterate that, and I'm going to use some facts again.
Yes.
When we look at July 2020, which was last month, the JSE All Share provided a return of 2.56%, you know, for July.
Yes.
It's fantastic. Great. Solid return. We're looking at about 3% return in the market. If you did not hold the following seven shares, and we're going to include the big PGMs here as well. If you did not hold AngloGold, Amplex, Goldfields, Harmony, Implats, Northam, and Sibanye in your portfolio, your return, and this is crazy to think that seven shares makes a difference between 2.56% positive for the month and a 0.3% negative return, you know, over the same period. Only seven shares. So these companies are looking financially a hell of a lot better. So today we saw, you know, Goldfields first came out. They came out with a trading statement. Trading statement for the first half of 2020. So I can't wait, because just to put it out there, we need to put the disclaimers out there. I'm an investor in Goldfields. I mean, I'm not about to sell that position purely because, you know, after today's results, they're looking at HEPS, headline earnings per share, that's going to be up in dollar terms between 290% and 310%. Now that is unbelievable. This is crazy to think we're looking at those stuff. And remember, this is not including this, let's call it the run in the gold price for the past, you know, few weeks. This is still, you know, with you know, let's call it the first half of 2020.
Well, just let's put it into simple terms. Gold mines in South Africa in US dollar terms are digging it out the ground. It varies from operation to operation, from shaft to shaft. Let's say it's between $1,100 and $1,200 an ounce. The price is over $2,000. It's $900 margin. It's incredible.
That's crazy. I'm going to actually answer you, because the one thing that Goldfields has done phenomenally in this trading statement, they've actually given you what is their all-in sustaining cost, which is basically AISC. You want to take a guess what Goldfields, you know, all in sustaining cost were for this?
I haven't read the results, but I would say 850 to 900.
Yes, it's $986 per ounce.
That's not bad.
Now, that is crazy. That is crazy to think that, you know, currently they are getting with the latest prices now, you know, we're looking at a $2,044 per ounce current gold price as it goes. For every single piece of gold that they're currently mining, I mean, they're yielding more than 100%, you know, it's called a gross return. So this is phenomenal, the gross returns. And DRD gold didn't look a hell of a lot different. When we look at DRD gold, they actually came out and said, well, yeah, we know we had COVID. They didn't say it that way, but that's how I read it.
Mm-hmm.
I know we had COVID, but when we look at the production that we had for year ended 30 June. So that's still including pretty much the eye of the storm of COVID. They produced, you know, 5.4 tons of gold for the period, which is up basically from 4.8 tons in the last year this time around. So they increased their production by 9%, which is phenomenal. And they also said, they gave some guidance. They said their operating cost per kilogram, which is about 490,000 rand per kilogram. Now, don't take out your calculators. I've already, you know, done those calculations. So effectively, DRD gold at a current let's call it rand dollar conversion of 17. I know it's not 17 yet, but I just use 17 rand per dollar. So they are. It cost them $817, you know, dollars per ounce to mine something that they can get 240. Odd dollars per ounce now. So this is just showing you, and I think, you know, what I actually loved further, and just again, I want to reiterate, when you compare DRD Gold with Goldfields, Goldfields is a company That's about, I reckon, about 205 billion rand company. So it's a massive, massive company. DRD Gold is around about a tenth of that. So they're about 23 billion market cap company. That said, you know, when they ended off their update or operating update, they actually mentioned, you know, what their cash and equivalents are going to look like. And then after they've paid the dividend, they made it clear and it remains free of bank debt as 30 June 2020. So that's just to reiterate what I said earlier. This is that it changed the whole investment, let's call it, objective of this. Because remember, I said gold gives you no income. Gold, with all due respect, is something.
Nor do bonds. But nor do bonds. That's the key.
But these mines that's currently mining this commodity, which is in such high demand, they are, they mentioned, you know, DRD, bank debt-free. So they've got very little debt. They've got very high cash balances. And while the rand remains weaker, and while all the listeners out there's got the view that the rand could remain weaker for much longer and gold could remain higher for much longer, hell, I must admit, be very, very, you know, I think bad of me to call a top on gold mines currently.
Very good. I understand exactly what you're saying. You're not a gold bull, but you're not selling gold. And you, as much as the gold bulls are incredibly intrigued and enthralled by what we're seeing every single day on our screen. And in fact, the gold price was 2044 when we started. It was 2055 earlier on. It's now back at 2050. It's all over the place. There's so much volume going through the commodity exchange in New York. It's incredible. Okay, other companies, you can pick one. Woolworths up nearly just over 5.5%. Alan Gray taking yet more shares, over 20% they now hold. Liberty Holdings came out with their financial results. I mean, after you've spoken about gold, is it really worth talking about Liberty? Great company historically, but a little bit boring in today's environment. Impact came out with their numbers down nearly 2%. JSE Limited, maybe we should give them a couple of minutes. What do you think? JSE Limited came out with their numbers. And is it cost-cutting, or is it volumes higher, or are they charging more? What's happened here?
Yeah, I need to run through those figures because currently it makes about 1.5. So I need to go and find out where that other half came from. So yeah, I think it is interesting, but it's something that I would need to look a bit. You know, other company that we've seen and there was no formal SENS announcement.
Yes.
So that's maybe we can chat about that, and that's MTN.
Well, they've been active this week. We've had Ghana figures out. We've had a BE deal being called into question because lack of dividend. We've had the Nigerian numbers. So it has been quite busy this week, Skulk.
They've been busy, and also the CEO, Rob Schurter. So let's firstly say that he's been appointed now as one of the CEO, as one of the British Telecom's departments there, or call it the operations there. Mm-hmm. And right after that happened, the share price dropped back, I think, 4 or 5%, and everybody was in shock. Now, let's just put it out there. This is no new news. I mean, in April and March, he made it clear, because on that stage there was still a year left. His contract as CEO expires March 2021. And he made it clear already in March 2020 that he's not going to renew that. So this is no news. So actually it was quite interesting to see the share price react as it did. Now, again, I'm a huge Schurter fan. I mean, the turnaround that he's done in MTN has been phenomenal, and I think that the road that he's paved now for MTN is one of growth. It's a different MTN that we've known 3, 4, 5 years ago. This is a company that's you suddenly hear companies like Jumia, which is e-commerce. You hear things like fintech. Now, let's put it out there. You know, I think that the thing that's driven the company today was, again, MTN allegedly, so that's the rumors now currently, allegedly selling part or all of its Jumia shielding, which is listed on the New York Stock Exchange. That's valued at about, let's call it, $240 million. And then also remember, it's set in February that it's also looking to find a buyer for its IHS tower company, which also we're looking at about, let's call it on that stage, was valued around about, the shareholding was valued at about, let's call it $1.5 billion. Now, nothing has formally been put out there. But, you know, this attracts me as an investor, because remember what we said earlier on the gold companies and what I've been sort of advocating since COVID started. Go and find those companies that's either got an extremely healthy balance sheet already, or that's working, you know, very, very hard to strengthen that balance sheet even further. And that's what I'm getting from MTN lately. It's a company that they've already made it clear this sales or possible sales that they're going to do is going to be earmarked to reduce debt and basically just strengthen their balance sheet. You can see where they go. You can see MTN is currently a lot more focused on fintech, not your historic old cell phone type of company businesses, more this new generation type of companies. Expect the results to be out, because remember they only brought out a trading statement, I think it was last week, so the results should be out in due course. And I think I'll be one of the first people to dissect that, because I do think it's looking a hell of a lot cheaper and also healthier.
Jolly good. And just one final note, going back to the gold, the headlines all say that Goldfield sees 300% profit rise on gold rally. We will at some stage, and it'll probably be a first, I mean, you can correct me if I'm wrong, at some stage, one of these gold mines, when the gold price is at 2,500 or something, are going to give us a special dividend. Something's going to happen like that, because they're not going to go out and buy other mines, because they've made that mistake before. They're going to pay back investors' confidence. And watch out for special dividends in the future. That's my tip of the day. Top five major moves on the JSE today. Harmony up 9.6%. Sibanye-Stillwater up 8.25%. DRD Gold up 8%. Goldfields up 7.8%. Redefine. It doesn't dig stuff. It rents stuff to you. 7.75% up. On the downside, Hammerson going in the opposite direction for a property company, down 6.25%. RCL Foods down 5.5%. Italtel down 4.25%. Renet down 3%. And Sappi down 2.1%. What are the indices and the value traded today, please, Skulk?
So as we close the day off, we actually just get that up. So the all share ended the day off at 57,629. That's a whopping growth of 2.45% for the day.
Brilliant.
Naturally, resources were the big mover. We're not going to continue, you know, blowing smoke up the yes. behind.
Yes.
So it's 4.3% up for today. That's the resource index. The industrial index up 1.63%. And the financial index a little bit slower. That's up 0.51%. And as you alluded earlier, with Redefine having a great day still, I think the second or third largest property stock there, we also saw that SA Property Index moved up 1.9% for the day. Value traded for today, not a bad day. Just shy of 23 billion. So we're looking at a day of 22.6 billion turnaround on the JSE. I think it's a good day all around.
Great day all around. Great Wednesday. Skulk, thank you so much. We'll speak again in the morning with the opening. That was Skulk Lowe, portfolio manager at PSG Wealth in Cape Town, and that was the 5 o'clock shadow. The views and opinions expressed in these podcasts are those of Lindsay Williams and various contributors and do not reflect the policy, position or opinion of any other agency, organization, employer or company associated with strictlybusinesspodcast.com. Assumptions made on the analyses are not reflective of the position of any other entity other than the speaker or the author. And since we are critically thinking human beings, these views are always subject to change, revision and rethinking at any time. Please do not hold us to them in perpetuity.